from the studios in Eugene, Oregon. It's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Refusing not only to give up on the program, but also not to give up on summer. And I think it should last forever, but that's just me. How about you, Cliff?
Are you not having summer up there?
We did yesterday.
Well, we're having summer down here. It's sunshiny and nice and warm, and we just turned the air conditioner on, so I assumed it's for everywhere.
Well, it's not for everywhere, but it rained last night. Like it never rains in Oregon, the state of Atlantis. Anyways, welcome to the program, folks. You can join us with our little craziness by calling us. Call us right now. Call us now. 646-721-9887. Again, if you're listening to the program on the archives, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We're also curious, too, about where are you listening to us from. Send us an email, too, about where you're at, and we love our emails.
Yeah, that's why it's fun to get emails from people, and let us know on the email. I guess it's sort of your email address does kind of hint at where you're from, but let us know what city and what, well, for that matter, what country you're from. That's of interest, too.
Absolutely. It's all fun broadcasting to the world. It's even more fun when you pick up that telephone and call us at 646-721-9887. We've got a lot on the agenda to talk about, and just when you think things are getting a little bit slower in the news, well, somebody always sticks their foot in their mouth and makes headlines. And so we're going. And what's kind of interesting, usually used to be the Oregon legislature that fills up everything, but they've been kind of taking a back seat to what's been going on with the federal government. And so we're going to talk a little bit about a recent interview that President Obama had with a small radio station in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Joe Biden, I hope you wear clean shoes because, well, in my opinion, you're competing with former Vice President Dan Quayle. Speaking of clean shoes, Representative Todd Akin from Missouri, he's gnawing away at the leather. And we got some other fun stuff coming around. We're going to talk a little bit about GM and declaring bankruptcy again. Apple is in the news again, and also voter ID. But first, are you ready for this, Cliff?
I'm ready.
First. Okay, but before I go ahead and run the spot, you didn't save me any samples again, did you?
No. No, I didn't. Sorry. I got sidelined by a car. Now, that doesn't mean I have a car. That means I've been working on the car. I realize, be careful.
Yeah, you're trying to get a charge out of his car that won't give a charge. But what we're talking about is dancing dog cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with dancing dog cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them. And I'm sure you will, too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancingdogcookies.com, available in select locations in Lane County and online at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Sounds like a great idea. I'm all for that. And it doesn't really make any difference what kind of cookie. I'm all for cookies.
I don't know. Michelle Obama might not agree with that.
Well, I will have to admit, I'm not too gung-ho on the kind of cookies that you get in your computer.
Well, that's true, too.
They don't taste good.
A little crunchy. Yeah, a little crunchy. But anyways, yeah, like I say, a lot going on today, and even more, you know, with your phone call, 646-721-9887. Before we get into things, I do want to, again, thank our listeners out there. Your participation, you know, it has been great. Our numbers are doing really, really well, which, despite some people, makes us do want to come back and do a show again next week. And we also encourage, we had a caller on last week from another Blog Talk Radio program. He's new to this business that gets you hooked big time. And we encourage the Blog Talk Radio show hosts, you know, send us an email and come on the show, plug your show, and join us in the conversation, too, as well as you, 646-721-9887.
We really want to listen, want to hear from anybody, and no matter where you are, I'm not sure if everybody's aware that they can talk to us via Skype, because that's free, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Yes, you know, if you use Skype, you can go to our show page, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, click on the little Skype button up there, and it'll come up on my board, usually as all ones. Which, by the way, if you've never talked to a talk show before, this is a very good format to try it out. It's really easy to do. You can listen to the show, by the way, by dialing 646-721-9887 when we're live. And if you want to participate, just press 1 on your keypad. And you are, I will say, welcome to the show, area code so-and-so, and you can contribute. It's real fun and really easy to do. So, Cliff, you wanted to get off into, you were talking about Apple. Want to start off with that.
It's a real kind of an interesting thing. It's just a little aside thing that I saw this morning. That, God, I'm being thwarted by the computer. I've been trying to save this file, and it just keeps beeping at me. I'm not doing it right. So anyway, boy, I tell you, Apple. It's kind of amazing to me because I've always thought of Apple as being a small company and you know, they're doing pretty well right now because of their iPods and their iPads and different i-whatevers. But Apple has just been named as the most valuable company in the world. The most valuable company in the world, Apple. They've actually gone 64%. Their stock has risen 64% in the last year, just 1 year. So they're now worth like $602.6 billion. The other way around. They're worth $621.2 billion. That's up from $620. Anyway, it's a lot of money. Just big money. I didn't realize that Apple was that big a company until now. And of course, everybody that's trying to sell iPads or iPods or any kind of i-whatevers is sitting there saying, "Well, mine's as good as Apple, or mine's better than Apple, or mine's like Apple." Or everybody, Apple has always been in the iPod i-whatever sense of the word. Anything that's iPad or iPod or i-whatever, you always compare it to Apple. I mean, they're the ones to beat, the ones to match or anything. So it's amazing, I thought. That's a lot of money to be labeled as the most valuable company the world has ever seen. I don't know if I'd go along with that. I seem to think that Microsoft might be closer to answering that, or Google or something, because, boy. But I don't know. I mean,
well, it's part of the pun. Comparing Apple to Microsoft is almost like, you know, literally comparing apples to oranges. Apple has a pretty good following. I know, I'm sorry. Apple has a pretty good following. And also, Apple, when you get it out of the box, as they say, it's not loaded up with a bunch of garbage, you know, for one thing. And
All the Apple things, or maybe an Apple computer might be, but I think they do it now. They're pretty much like everybody else now.
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't have an Apple. I've used them before. I know that they're kind of getting kind of close to the same. I guess Apple still does pretty good as far as graphics, and they're getting into more business. But I'm not really qualified to compare the two. All I know is that too many times I've had to argue with my Microsoft machines, especially, I could say, here's a good rule of thumb that I use, two rules. Number one, never, ever compliment your computer on how well it's running. Number two, never tell it that you really need it right now.
Really?
Both instances will cause it to crash.
Well, see, I've sort of somewhat solved that problem by having four of them. So if I compliment one and it decides to die, I can turn on another one, or I can go to another one, or I can go to another one. And like right now, I have two of them on. I, you know, it's interesting because I see down here the value of Microsoft, General Electric, and Cisco systems. Those are the big three have seen their values plunge by 57, 56, and 72% since 1999. So everything else is going down, and Apple is going up. That's why they've done it so well lately. So,
well, on the downside is Apple gets more popular. Of course, the people that write the viruses and stuff will be targeting Apple, and soon they'll have a Microsoft problem.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I'm amazed. Now, I wonder what kind of viruses do we have on phones. I'm not playing around with phones or iPads very much at this particular point. I just wonder what kind of viruses we have on those. I know the iPad, I'm trying to keep this straight, would have the same viruses that computers have because they go online and do the same things. So I don't know. But nowadays, everything is being done by the phone. My niece, I guess, brought over an iPad that she had, and it wasn't an iPad. It was some other kind, but it went online and did all kinds of things. It was really quite nice, quite neat. It was only 7-inch screen, but that's a pretty big size screen. It's too big to fit in your pocket to use as a phone, but everything about it could be used as a phone, and it could do everything a phone could do, and a whole lot more. So it's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, basically, your smartphone, per se, is going to replace the computer as they're getting into dual and quad processors, and you just plug them into the docking station, so you got the bigger screen, the keyboard, and you know, soon the personal PC, unless you're doing some really serious number crunching, you know, or graphics or whatever, everything's just going to be in your smartphone. You know, and then when you combine that with Google Glasses, you know, you now become really integrated into the matrix.
I can see that except that I can and I can't, because that requires, for example, that you come home and you bring your iPhone home with you, or your smartphone home with you, or whatever you want to call it, and you plug it into this docking platform so that you got it on a big screen so you can see it, and so that you got it with a keyboard so that you can actually use it, and with a mouse and all that sort of thing, so it sits there. But that ties up your phone. So if that's my only phone, which that's the reason I bought it, was for a phone.
You use them as a phone too?
Well, I sort of thought that's what a smartphone was for.
That's like if you really want to get a look when you go to the Verizon store or one of those other stores that sell smartphones, and they're telling you about how you got the 3G, 4G network and the transfer speed, how much data you can transfer, and how the sound quality is, and how the picture quality is, and how much storage it has, and how it can wirelessly hook up to external speakers and whatever. Look at the guy with about a serious look in the face that you can go in. How's the phone quality?
Yeah, really. And it's almost to the point that's secondary. Phone quality can be terrible. You don't know. And that's one of the things because I've used the phone for a long time as a source for remote broadcasts and radio. And most phones nowadays suck for that purpose. They just are terrible. They have bad quality entirely. And even the Motorola phones, which were good for a long, long time, I'm not too sure how good they are now. So, of course, now, see.
Go ahead.
Now you can go on with a different system. Now with your smartphone, you can go online like a computer and use the computer part of it, and then it's perfect. So, I mean, things have changed so radically since even 4 or 5 years ago when things were different. Boy, were they different. So much, well, I suppose probably just in the last 2 years, things have done radical changes, because that's how long it's taken Apple to become number one in the world. It's just a matter of 2 years. So it's really quite a radical change. I don't know. I still like to have a separate phone apart from my computer. And, of course, I can still use a computer as a phone, which I do often. But that means I still have the phone I can answer, or don't answer, as the case may be.
And we're old and old-fashioned. You know, I still don't have a smartphone. Of course, then again, I can't afford it. I have Verizon, and they're expensive. But anyway, 646-721-9887. And, again, as always, if you would like to chime in on this or anything else that's on your mind, you know, please feel free to do so. We've been known to shift gears on topics many a time, depending on what we have or what you have. And, again, you can always join the program, even in the chat room right now. The chat room is live at blogtalkradio.com/KR. GM.
Oh, don't get me started on GM. I am so mad. I am so upset. I mean, oh.
So you feel a little bit about this.
Yeah. I mean, face it, GM, okay, Chrysler and GM both had the same benefits. Both were given a reprieve. Chrysler has taken care of their problem. They have solved their problem. They have sold their assets. Ford didn't even get involved. Ford was capable of taking care of themselves without that. So here we are, GM, who was given a bailout, $1 billion. I mean, what was it, like $600 billion or something? A huge, huge bailout that they were given by our president. And we're trying, they're trying to get more. They're going to go under again. We should have let them go bankrupt in the first place, because then they would have been required to fix all their problems. Instead, we gave them a go.
Well, they gave them a go. Also, they wanting to push the Chevy Volt, which I still think is not practical, especially for the price. They also have been a GM car. It's an 84 Celebrity. I've lost track of how many mechanics have told me that this car is not supposed to last as long as it has. It's got over 200,000 miles. The engine is still healthy because I take care of it. The body is falling apart. And believe this or not, folks, you cannot buy tires for it. Now, I have a 70 Datsun pickup that's got over 425,000 miles, and it's still going strong. Comparing the two, what are you going to buy in the future? Of course, Datsun doesn't exist anymore, so.
Well, I'm going to have to sit here and defer to you, because I would never have bought a General Motors product in the first place. I'm dead set against General Motors. I'm a Ford man. And now even more so, because of the fact that Ford has weathered the storm by themselves, and they haven't had to ask for money or a handout or anything else. And that means to me, first of all, the money that General Motors got, they spent overseas putting factories in China and a couple of other places, and not doing much here, helping people. And of course, what it's done, you understand that this whole thing is based on
Well, Well, some things that come up that come to that, it's like a kid that lost, you just gave him more money. Want to be more concerned about where the money came from? Probably not. Secondly, money from, like you said, from overseas, like China. Now we're talking about, I don't know if it's Red China or which China it is, about putting sanctions against somebody that we borrowed a ton of money from. But the point is that, you know, when you, they should kind of follow Star Trek's rules about non-interference, because the company going bankrupt would actually have turned out to be a healthier thing.
Yeah, really, I agree. And the thing is, that's what that using the Star Trek philosophy, I think, is good. We should stay out of. I mean, this is a private company, and the government stepped in and gave them money. Now that's something we've been accusing other governments of doing for years, and propping up the company instead of letting it stand on its own. And here we are doing it ourselves. And now we've got other companies that we want to do that to. That should stop. That should end instantly, as far as I'm concerned. We should not ever step in and prop up a private company, because what does that do to other private companies? In other words, the competition is unfairly biased, because now if I was Ford, I would be very upset, because here I am, my competition is being sponsored by the government, and I'm not. And that's ridiculous. And of course, the fact is, this is all a part of the unions, in my opinion. Obama gave him the money because the unions are his big thing. Unions are voters for him, and they're popping him. That's why, however, unions, if they're going under GM, if GM is going under again, it's the unions. They're doing the problems. They're asking for too much money to whatever. I don't know. I haven't seen the list of what's wrong, but I would venture to say it's all part of the union problem again. And what are we going to do? Are we going to give them money again? No. Come on.
Well, that's assuming that you learn from your mistakes. You know, but you hit the nail right on the head. Who is the audience? Is it the government, or is it actually the people? You know, if you're only going to design your business for the government, especially like a GM type of company, you're going to fail.
Well, I will have to say that General Motors did come up with the Volt and others, but that's I'm sure what Obama wanted when he did this. And they've lost money on that every time, ever since the beginning. Now, you see, the thing is, Obama wanted these electric cars and this experimental things, and he got a way to pay. Well, he bought it, let's put it that way. The thing is, they're not doing well with it. Ford is doing the same thing. They've got several models of electric cars and hybrid cars. And they're doing okay with it. At least they're not going broke. And so, as far as I'm concerned, what it tells me is that by giving them all that money, we didn't change anything. They're still going to go under. They're still doing it wrong, and they need to be turned off, shut off.
Well, in the top GM's embarrassment, according to Wikipedia, 2002, 1,117. Electric cars known as the EB1, which had been produced through the end of 1999 when GM shut down the assembly line. These cars were, the lessees, the people that leased the cars, were notified that GM would be removing these cars from the road. And if you do the research on it, there is just a wrecking yard with just tons of these electric vehicles.
Well, I didn't know about that. I know a lot of people have tried to buy one of these EVs or get parts for the EVs, and they can't do it because General Motors did shut them down. General Motors doesn't know how to market them. They don't know how to build them. They don't know how to do anything with them, and so they turned them off, which is that would be the logical move. They did that, however, a long time ago, even before they were bailed out. So then they tried to do it again with this electric Volt, and that's not doing any better than the EVs did. The EVs were actually a logical move, and I don't I don't know exactly why they took them off the market and literally effectively went after them and took them away from people and threw them away. I'd have to look at that. That's interesting that they say that. I thought they just let them stop and die.
Well, I'm doing a quick scan here of Wikipedia. I guess it had something to do with California's CARB regulations. And apparently there was a battle in federal court over it. And they also said that GM claimed consumers were not showing significant interest in the EV1 to meet the sales requirements called by the CARB mandates. So it's just another thing about regulations and whatever. But still, the technology is such that for the price of the vehicle and the range of the vehicle, one of these days electric cars will, take over the combustion engine, but it's going to be a while before price and practicality, in my opinion, takes effect.
See, I happen to disagree. I don't think electric cars are going to take over the competition. I think electric cars are just a step along the way, and I don't think we should even be interested. The car that's got to be taking over things has got to be one of two things. It's got to have a much longer range and than the 40 miles, for example, that the Volt has. And maybe some people say that Volt went further than that, but any comparisons I've ever heard seen, 45 miles is about it. There are many electric cars, for example, this little Leap. The Leap will go for 100 miles on a charge, but then Tesla has come out with a car now that will go 240 miles on a charge. And I just saw a thing on the television the other day where Tesla is getting a big, huge infusion of money from the government, too. So I'm not sure how to accept that because, maybe they'll go. Tesla's been in it for how many years? About eight years or so that they've been building these cars. But they're trying to get them down to a logical price so that people can actually buy them. But I'm not sure that that's the answer, is electric cars. I mean, but that seems to be the direction we're going. We're putting little charging stations all over. What is Oregon going to put in 140 of them or something like that all over the country? And I've seen them popping up here and there. We went to the grocery store the other day and saw two charging stations sitting there. So they're happening. So the direction is that direction, but I'm not sure. I think there's other directions we can go, something that'll do a lot longer.
And AAA is starting to put generators on the back of their tow trucks because, an electric car, when it runs out of juice, you can't move it because the wheels lock up.
Oh,
so it's not like you can just push start the thing. And that may be because it uses electric brakes or whatever to hold it. I don't know. But anyway, 646-721-9887. Again, you can comment on this or anything else that is on your mind. And got a couple more things on the list here that are kind of rushing down the thing. Joe Biden. For those of you who don't know who Joe Biden is, he just happens to be our current vice president. And my mouse died. Unfortunately, now Danny Quayle, that was who was his president? Do you recall?
No, I remember Dan Quayle. He eclipsed his president.
Yeah. Anyways, Dan Quayle he wasn't exactly the brightest bulb on the street, and his most claim to fame is not knowing how to spell potato. Joe Biden, let's put it this way. He's not helping the Obama campaign. Here's an example.
You got to finish what Obama started. You got to finish this recovery. We need you to stay with us. We need us to go out there and make sure, ladies and gentlemen, with you, and I mean this, with you, we can win North Carolina again. And if we do, we win the election if we win you. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
Okay, that's all good and well, except that this speech was being held in Danville, Virginia.
Okay, why is that a problem?
Well, because when he's talking about that we can win North Carolina again, I'm suppose the Virginians don't really care. And what's kind of interesting is that except for a couple of them, according to the crowd, they didn't even realize that that he was telling people. You know, he forgot where he was, basically.
Well, he was right on the border. He was, you know, I can understand that. That's not a problem that I can see, because he was actually talking to a crowd of probably of both states. I mean, he was right on the border when he said it, and I can see how he can forget.
I also think it's interesting too, and I don't have the audio for this, but when he was talking in front of the NAACP, he also kind of got this southern accent kind of going, like he's kind of belittling these people and referring to them about, you know, don't let the Republicans put you back in chains.
Well, that's the thing that I think is ridiculous, is the words that he used and the things that he said. They didn't make much sense at any place. He was getting a little carried away, I'm afraid. I don't know. He does have a tendency to foot and mouth type of problem that he has had before. But I guess I'll have to stick up for him a little bit, because I would prefer he doesn't talk well most of the time. He doesn't use teleprompter to say what he's going to say, so he can say things and screw it up. But he needs to be a little bit more restrained. I don't know. I would think that by now he has done enough speaking in public for the president that he'd have the whole thing down pat. He'd have it all figured out and could speak to them logically. But he still makes those mistakes, I guess. Of course, see, I think the media is looking very hard for any possible little mistake that he makes, and they blow it all out of proportion.
Well, that's true. I mean, I agree with that. And it's been an interesting race to begin with. You know, like I say, it's almost like a reality program on TV. But that's why I can't wait for the vice presidential debates.
Here we go. This is the thing I'm really looking forward to, is when we get, of course, we've got to wait until October before these debates start happening. So I don't think we can make any decisions about what's happening until then. This is all a farce as far as I'm concerned. We've got, Obama says he's not saying what he's saying. In other words, he blames these, what do they call them, these super something or others that supply him with, supply him with all the money. He says he doesn't have any control over what they're saying or what they're putting on the air or that, and he doesn't even know. And I think he does know. He does understand. Now, he may not have approved it, because they don't have to have his approval. They can say anything they want to. But if he doesn't approve of it and he doesn't say anything about it, then he approves by default, because he can tell them to stop. I mean, he can actually tell them to stop. And anybody who doesn't bother to stop when the president specifically asks you to cease and desist, then we've got to change the rules, because, you know, you can't put words in other people's mouth if they don't want you to.
Well, and I think that people are actually getting kind of tired of this blame game, which, like you said a couple programs ago, that Mitt Romney was sitting on the sidelines, just basically letting the opposition make a fool of themselves, you know, because it gets old. It's just like, I'm so tired of hearing about tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires. It's like, you're one of them. Why do you have a problem with these people? How does that affect me? Why should I care?
See, I don't believe he is one of them. I don't think he's a millionaire at all. If he is, he's just barely a millionaire. And he tries to equate with them. He tries to make it as if he was one of them. And I think that's the biggest farce in the world. But when he gets on there and starts talking about all these things, he isn't, you know, he can say, well, we can say, well, you can let your tax returns be known, but you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to display, to speak of. And Whereas if you're a Romney, you've got billions of dollars. And they keep putting the thing that he's got the billions of dollars in different countries and different places around the world. So what? I mean, he has, you know, he's already stated that he still pays American taxes on it. And so,
well, the thing is like you're saying, is that, okay, so what, he's got investments or does outsource. He's a smart businessman. A lot of companies do that. You know, I mean, yeah, it'd be great if we could do everything within the states here, but unfortunately, we've gone into a climate and taxation where it's very expensive for the business to survive. I mean, hopefully, you know, Romney gets in there, he'll revamp some of the tax codes and stuff to bring industry back in here and put people to work. But, you know, just to go out and say, well, we need tax cuts for, you know, millionaires, billionaires, and he outsources, Obama outsources, NASA outsources after they cut that program. Yeah. Outsourcing is not a bad thing altogether.
Well, it is a bad thing because we don't make things cheap enough to do them here. If we would take some of these rules and regulations that Mr. Obama mostly has put on there and take them off, it would be better and easier to do business here in the United States and maybe bring some of those companies. I don't know if we can bring them back after they finally left or not, because I don't know if we can take off that many rules and regulations to make it to your advantage to be here or not. I'm a little worried that we may have passed that point.
Well, I agree with you. When you consider that how much planning it takes to put up a business, you know, to arrange the funding, to acquire the land, to go through a deal with the city, state, counties, and everything else just to get the permits, especially in the Eugene area, it's horrible. By the time you get through all doing all that, you've got a couple of years invested. And if you're banking on that things are going to change just because of one administration, well, I think you're being kind of foolish.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I don't know. I see a thing here that Joe Biden is. There's a huge list of what they call Bidenisms, the top 10 Joe Bidenisms. He's made a lot of foot and mouth mistakes. Wow, that's amazing.
Exactly. Speaking of foot and mouth mistakes, I'm trying to rush through here because the time is ticking away, which still is a good reason to give us a phone call, 646-721-9887. Foot and mouth disease is apparently contagious, at least with Representative Todd Akin, who stuck his foot in his mouth recently. Representative Akin, who is running for Senate in Missouri, had to do a little bit of quick backpedaling after he made these comments.
If an abortion could be considered in a case of, say, a tubal pregnancy or something like that, what about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not?
Well, you know, people always want to try and make that as one of those things. Well, how do you slice this particularly tough sort of ethical question? It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be in the rapist and not attacking the child.
A legitimate rape?
Well,
I mean, even Obama recently, actually as of today, came out and said, rape is rape. And I'll have to agree with him on that one.
Well, I do agree with that. We need to be more objective in what is rape, because I've heard of an awful lot of cases where somebody cried rape and it really wasn't. But we do, once we finally get down to the point of it, we figure it is, this whole business of the body shutting down, that's, I think, absurd, just absolutely ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that you should even consider that, because when you're being overpowered by someone, you doesn't make a damn difference how much you shut down. It's still there.
Yeah, it's still a violation of the body, and that is something that I've never experienced. I don't ever want to experience.
Well, the violation itself is enough traumatization of the person, regardless of be a child or an adult. That's you've got to consider that. It's just plain traumatization. I think this business of quantifying what is and what isn't it, or how much it is, how bad it is. Or that's ridiculous. I just think this man should shut his mouth and go find another business to and vocation.
Well, I totally agree with you. In fact, some of the other representatives are thinking that he should just kind of, you know, just hang it up and retire. His point trying to make, though, because he's a anti-abortion person, and so he was just kind of, well, obviously making maybe the type of abortion he should have is to pull his shoe out of his mouth. And just kind of, he's displaying his ignorance. I mean, everybody can believe what they want to believe, fine. If you believe in abortion, great. If you don't, great. It, bottom line is, it's really not up to you. It's up to the individual. At least that's the way I feel. Especially if it has something to do with a woman's health, or if somebody was forcibly impregnated, which can happen in a rape. I wouldn't want to give birth to somebody else's child I didn't even know.
Well, that gets really a touchy deal, because, you know, how or why or what. The point is, that's one of the big stepping stones in the campaigns today and politics today is what is, what isn't, and what do you do about abortion. And that's it's a major thing, like it or not. And we still, I don't think it's something you can fix. You can't decide whether it is or whether it isn't. You just can't do it. And it's going to be a subject of how people react, the candidates themselves, forever. I don't think it's ever going to stop.
Well, and to use his example, how does the body know if it's a legitimate rape or not? You know, legitimate intercourse is like, okay, well, let's see, we're doing this. Did we fill out the proper forms? Oh, no, we didn't. This must not be legit.
That's why I say this guy needs to hang up his skates, so to speak, and go be something else. He'll work at McDonald's or something. I mean, that's about all he's good for at this particular point. You can't quantify what we're talking about, and you can't do that. You can sit here and discuss it from now until forever. And as I say, it's going to be on the minds of people forever. You're going to be talking about this forever. And we've slowed down a little bit. It's not quite as bad as it was, because for a while there, that was the only thing in the news. That was the only thing that people ever talked about. Now we've got at least some other things to talk about. I don't know what.
Yeah, well, right now they're probably talking about whether or not Atkins is a legitimate candidate. So, but anyways, moving right along, I also want to get into, speaking of candidates, President Obama, apparently, he's kind of took a little vacation, per se, from talking with reporters and answering questions. I guess it's been about 8 weeks since he's been granting interviews.
Now,
before
you go any further, yes. Today he left his vacation. He went on front of the people and talked at his press conference today and answered some questions today. So I just wanted to know that. That was just a matter of hours ago.
Oh, cool. That's good to know. Thank you for letting me know that.
Okay.
Even though it kind of took away my lead in, but thank you. he's been granting a series of interviews to entertainment media, including one morning show called Morning Mayhem with, it's not the insurance mayhem guy, not the Allstate mayhem guy, but with Danny Virgil from KOBFM 93.3 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And this interview was kind of a little bit different than his other interviews. And as the representatives from KOB said, we wanted to get to know the person more than we wanted to get to know the candidate. And here's a snippet of that interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Mr. President.
How's it going, guys?
Our big question is red or green?
Red. All although every once in a while, green is solid.
What's your favorite New Mexican food?
Now, if we were to visit Chicago, what would you recommend if I wanted to go eat some really good soul food?
Mr. President, I wanted to know, we're a pop music station. What's your favorite song to work out to?
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
I think the whole flying thing is pretty good.
Me too. We have something in common.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat just kind of swooping around.
Mr. President, I know your real favorite song has got to be Call Me Maybe. You can tell us. It's okay.
Well, Mr. President, we appreciate you calling in.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
All right.
I just flirted with the President of the United States of America.
And America now knows that what type of chili that the President enjoys, although he says that I think you've got to go with the classic red, although every once in a while, green, solid, but I'm going to go with red on this one. So I guess in a way, the president has a little bit of Republican in him.
This was probably, had nothing to do with chili. It was probably a Christmas interview.
Actually, this happened just a ago. And yes, it, if you listen to the full audio, which is going to KOB website, or just do a search for it, you can listen to the full 6-minute interview. But yes, they were talking about chili. They didn't talk anything about politics, and like I said, they just wanted to kind of get to know the person more than the politician.
I think they went about it the wrong way myself. I mean, I don't think that says much about him or anybody else. Who cares what kind of chili you like?
Well, and I'm surprised I haven't heard, because when they were in the full interview, they were talking about what type of songs that he works out to, and he mentioned that his his smartphone has, I think it was an iPad too, if I remember right, has thousands of songs in it. And, of course, what comes to mind is, how did you get those songs? Did you pay for them?
Well, it's got to, the answer as to what he works out to has got to be Louie. There is no alternative. I mean, it has to be Louie. That's just all there is to it. That's in every, isn't that a standardized song in every phone?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to say what I'm thinking on that one, but anyways. I mean, it is, in some respects, yeah, it's kind of nice to, you know, see the more human side of a candidate, or, you know, like the president or whatever. But it kind of gets back to, like, what you and I were talking about last week about the debates and the moderation of the debates when you have the audience members, you know, ask questions. You know, they put their questions on the card and the moderator goes through them. Are the type of questions that are asked. Now, granted, if I had the opportunity to talk to the president and the ground rules were can't really be politics, I mean, that, well, actually, that's a tough one because there's a few things I'd like to ask him.
Well,
a
simple fact,
I mean, there are,
matter of fact, if that was the ground rule, it can't be politics, I wouldn't be interested in talking to him at all.
Well, I mean, there are some curiosity things like, you know, do you have to be at work at a certain time? If not, who are you going to get in trouble with?
Well, and I know the answers to that because, you know, he's at work all the time. And he, you know, whether he gets up and goes to work, first of all, he lives in the same place he works almost. And so that's real easy to do. But the thing is, I mean, I've watched all the movies. I've watched the different things that have to do with the president to see how he does it. And we know that he doesn't have any specific time that he has to be there. He can take off and go, to use your favorite term, golfing anytime he wants to, because that's just a thing he can do. But he has to be there at certain times, and there are times when I don't think he was there that he should have been there, because there are things happening in the world that have happened without him, and he's had to catch up with them later and find out what's going on. And that's the problem I think we have. I'm not sure how well informed he is, because I'm not sure who his connections are. He's not using the Congress, the House, or the Senate, either one, to get information, because he kind of ignores them. It's obvious he ignores them because he passes laws and things without them, and so he's obviously ignoring them. He's not listening to what they have to say, so that's not where he's getting his information. But who is giving him his information, and why kind of ulterior motives do they have? And again, he's from Chicago. And that right in the very beginning is a negative, being from Chicago, period. And then you look at his religion and the people that he grew around, was working around the religion, people, religious leaders that he was running around with, I guess is what I want to say. That was a thing against him. Where he lived and the people that he was neighbors with and obviously listened to at that particular time when he was younger. I got some real major problems with President Obama. And the only thing I'm worried about is our program. Before long, President Obama is going to be defeated. Who are we going to yell about now?
Who's it what?
Who, once Obama is defeated and is no longer there, who are we going to talk about? Who are we going to talk about on this program?
I'm sure that probably won't be a problem. I mean, like I've always said, the Oregon legislature is always good for a laugh.
You know, it's really sad because hopefully whoever gets in there, well, if Romney gets in there, he can do something about our economy and about the job situation and what's going on. And when that's solved and we don't have that problem anymore, we're somewhat limited. We're going to have to search a little further and work a little harder to find out what to talk about and who to talk about and how. But I have no doubt in my mind at this particular point that Mr. Obama is going to be gone.
Well, I kind of hope so. But also on that same line, and Cliff and I both have made this point many times on the program, Mitt Romney is not our first pick. But if you decide to vote for anybody else, you might as well just say you voted for Obama.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, Mr. Romney is more my pick with Paul Ryan in there because Paul Ryan's budget ideas and the bills that he put together and sent to the Senate and such, whether they were passed or not, were a lot better than anybody else's as far as I can see. And if you don't believe me, you can go online and read them. You can read his bill. That's one thing. But go online and visit the Mitt Romney website because you can find out all about Mitt Romney and what he's for and what he's not for and what he can do and what he can't do. And it's all there, believe it or not. And you should read it. Obama doesn't have that position. He doesn't have a place where you can read about what he wants and what he doesn't want. And the only thing is that you have to go with Obama is that you have a record. You have a past record. You know what he does and what he doesn't do. And to ignore that and vote for him would be, I think, silly.
Yeah, you can also check out another website, too, which is our website at krbnradio.com. Cliff's done an excellent job of keeping that up. And more importantly, which more people have been viewing lately, and it's not a bad idea to read it if you've never read it before, is the U.S. Constitution. And because it's interesting, especially bringing more to light with this president, is because of all the executive orders and other things that he's kind of skirted around the Constitution and brings back a point that I've made many times, is we have a check and balance system, you know, the three houses of government, but what happens when that system fails? And I guess we're kind of getting an example of all that human liberty that is going bye-bye that we take for granted. In fact, as somebody brought up on the satellite talk shows the other day, that because we live in what I call a bubble wrap society, we isolate everybody from the real goings on in the world, that when something actually happens, like recently there is a Russian nuclear submarine pretty close to our shores, which I guess in a previous president would never have happened. But the whole point being is, what if? You know, we're so hung up on football, X Factors, other reality shows. We isolate, you know, the world is not being taught in schools, from what I understand, because it's been a while since I've been in school. Constitution, like when 9/11 happened, you know, we were isolated. I said there's children because they don't want to give them nightmares. Other people, believe it or not, actually called the TV stations complaining that their shows were preempted.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why we've got, I personally believe you shouldn't put the debates and things like that on at prime time, because people get upset when their programs are preempted. But, and perhaps we'd get more of them watching if they were not on there. Nowadays, amazingly enough, it's people can go to the internet and see what they want.
Well, what I think that, okay, like Cliff and I are both old-time radio fanatics, and like listening to Fibber McGee and Molly and other shows of that era, that'd be about what, 30s, 40s, 50s, Cliff?
40s, 40s. Yeah, 40s.
Okay. You would hear on those shows and on the commercials about how they're asking you to contribute to the war effort. And, you know, simple stuff from like saving Greece to, not the country, but actually cooking Greece, because they could use that. And also donating to help out the war effort by using government savings bonds. And my point is that it makes the people more aware that we actually are involved in a conflict. You know, that our people are overseas risking their lives, dying, getting maimed and crippled for life. Where nowadays, you don't hear that. All you hear is, some troops went overseas. Unless you actually know somebody personally, it means nothing to anybody.
Well, that's true to a certain extent. I don't believe that the way we do war nowadays, close quote, is the same. I mean, we don't lose as many people. When we hear about on television that 8 or 10 Americans are died in some skirmish or some war-related thing, that's outstanding. That's unusual. How many people have we lost in the entire, 12 years that we've been in Afghanistan? It's not been that many. We could lose that many in one battle before. But it's still, we aren't hearing enough about it. And the thing is, we should hear much, much less about it. In my opinion, we should bring them home. It's this business that we need to have a presence in such and such a country or so and so a country and this country and that country. That's a bunch of bull crap. We don't need to have a presence there.
That's what I mean. I think I'm back. No, that's what I mean, is that if it wasn't a hidden agenda, per se, that we're still involved in, we'd be more concerned about bringing our troops home.
Well, see, one of the things we do is we go and ask the commanders in those countries, should we bring them home? And of course they're going to say no, because they lose their job, effectively.
Right.
Of course they're going to say no. Of course that's. But we should bring them home, regardless. And this, I was listening to an interview on television, I don't know, the last day or two, and they were talking about Egypt and the fact that although Egypt has now got a new government, they have a new president or whatever they want to call him, and they're not American-friendly, so to speak. I don't know who was talking, but he said that we still, as a matter of fact, it was the vice president, the former vice president. Anyway, he was saying that we should still send that $1.3 trillion that we send to them every year, because it's their military that's getting it, and their military has been friendly to us in the past. Well, that's a bunch of crap. We shouldn't be sending it to them at all. We should be keeping that money and spending it right here at home. We need the money a hell of a lot more than they do, a hell of a lot more than giving it to them. And so we should be keeping it home and doing things here at home. And, you know, we've got our border to worry about. That's one thing. We've got a lot of things that we could spend that money on rather than sending it overseas. We've got $600 billion that we could save and keep right here. And it's ridiculous to think that we should keep sending it. And I'm afraid that's the one thing that I'm a little concerned with with Romney, rather, is that if he gets in the position of president, he's not going to bring that money home. He hasn't made any commitment to bringing all that money home and stopping the huge amounts of troop buildups that we have in these countries and in lots of different countries, not just Afghanistan. So that's the thing that I'm talking about.
Well, you never know, because like I say, Romney, if I remember right, he's a self-made millionaire. He understands the value of a dollar, and usually successful businessmen, they don't spend money without really sure they're going to get a return on their investment.
Again, I think he'll listen to the commanders overseas to find out whether he should or not, and that's the wrong place to go. He should talk to people and make his own opinion right here at home and then make a directive. I mean, I just don't believe that we can listen to our overseas commanders and be headed in the right direction.
Well, you got to think about it, too, that in a way, it's like a chess game. If you don't have your king and queen or your king protected, in other words, your troops, you have to have your troops on the outside of the board to kind of thwart off the attacks or whatever and stay on the offensive. But if you don't take care of things at home, then you're not going to you're going to be – you're weak on your infrastructure is what I'm trying to say. And that makes you ripe for attack. And when there is an attack, then you don't have the resources to thwart it off. And same thing with our borders being open, not just the fact about, you know, illegal immigrants per se, but also the fact that anybody can come through. I mean, it's like buying a very expensive alarm system and getting yourself a big, mean German Shepherd to help protect your property and everything, and leaving the front door unlocked and the German Shepherd locked up in a kennel in the backyard. What good is it going to do you? Anybody can come into your home. But okay, I think you're back now.
Okay. I was lost. I don't know why. I just all of a sudden gave up on me for some reason.
Yeah, it did that to me too. But no, I was just making the analogy that you know, it's just like, your open borders, for example, not just the illegal immigration problem, but anybody can come through. And, you know, like buying an expensive alarm system and having a German Shepherd doesn't do you any good to have the alarm system, not turn it on, leave the front door unlocked, and the German Shepherd in a kennel.
Yeah, that's true. And that's partly, well, I don't think we need to have, if we don't need to retire these troops when we bring them home. We can have them here because we can deploy troops from here almost as fast as we can anywhere else because we've got huge advances in military jets and things like that. For that matter, we can use remote-controlled airplanes and such things, and we don't even have to be there. So I think things have changed a lot. We don't need to have all these troops stationed everywhere in the world.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, let me make a quick comment. I want to ask you this question. Like the analogy that I was using of the chess game, is that if you don't keep enough of your men, you're vulnerable to attack, and it takes too long to get your men back on this side of the board to fend off the attack. Well, the question I have for you: do you think anybody in their right mind would attack Russia?
Well, actually, Russia is so much different than they were before. Yes, I don't think that anybody's going to attack Russia. For one thing, they've got the advantage of nuclear weapons that other people don't have, and more of them perhaps than other people don't have. But I mean, Russia's not stupid. Russia's not absolutely stupid, and we've found that out over the years. Now we don't have an idiot or in charge in Russia. So yes, I think we could, and Russia would be very careful to retaliate, I'm sure, just as we would, but they'd do so, in a small area. They'd contain their nuclear weapons or whatever weapons they use so that they didn't get out of hand. I don't think the problem would be in Russia or in the United States. Who would dare attack the United States or any major country, for that matter?
I use the analogy because, see, Russia, when they speak, people listen. You know, when we speak, we're a paper tiger. We're especially recently, we're too wussy.
See, I disagree with that. I things have changed in Russia. I don't think that they speak with as big a footprint as they used to. I don't think they're probably just as much of a wuss as we are.
I don't know. I mean, usually, well, of course, like you say, things may have changed or whatever. But in the past, was it during the Carter administration when all those hostages were being held and there was an American hostage and a Russian hostage, and I forget what the third one was, and we were trying to negotiate, and Russia just says, you got 24 hours to release them, period. And
I agree with that. I agree with their philosophy in doing that, and we should do that. We have a different problem with the fact that who's in charge right here in the United States changes. They've got the one person that stays in charge for a long, long, long time, not just every 4 years it gets changed. That's, I think, makes a big difference with our way our system of making things, making opinions.
Well, that's true. But actually, the best thing to do is to not have anybody attack anybody. But my point is that when you're weak at home, you're vulnerable. And it's still even though people live in a bubble wrap society, the world is still a dangerous, greedy place. And if you let your guard down, especially, we got a lot of enemies out there.
That's true.
And so we have to be careful. We have to play it right, and we can't show our weakness, unfortunately. And that same thing with protecting the outside and protecting the inside as well. And what's going on recently with this administration, I think we are weakening our insides. We're kind of losing our sovereignty, so to speak. And our country is transforming in a way that, in a way it's never had before.
Well, I agree with that. And to a certain extent, President Obama is, I think, the biggest problem that we have. He doesn't have the experience or any kind of intuitive ideas as to what to do worldwide. He can't, I don't think he can think worldwide as to what's going on and what's not going on. He listens entirely to the people. I don't want to say he shouldn't listen to at all the generals and things overseas, but I think he doesn't have any possible background to make an opinion of his own. Of course, I don't understand whether President Romney or Mr. Romney, if he is, or for that matter, Ryan, either of them have been, neither of them have military or overseas experience either. I don't think that necessarily business experience overseas is what we're talking about. So I don't know if we'd be better off or not.
But anyway, speaking of being heard, 646-721-9887. If you're listening to this program right now, call and tell us what you think.
We've got a major problem with our lines here because things keep disappearing. Are you there now?
Well, I'm still
okay.
Here. Yeah, it's a this is the thing when you like I said, my two rules: don't rely on the internet because on computers because they'll let you down all the time, and we're becoming more and more dependent on them too, which is kind of scary.
How many computers do you got running? How many computers do you have running at the moment?
At the moment, I got two.
Oh, okay. I know because you say you don't want to rely on them, yet you usually have two or three or four of them going on at the same time. So it's amazing that they would all three of them or four of them would die on you. But it only takes one, I guess, to create the problem.
Yeah, or the link too. When the internet goes down, it cripples a lot of things. Even the company that I work for, it cripples the company. So the whole industry.
We are relying so much on the computers nowadays. And the thing is, we're going to be relying more and more and more on it now because with all the smartphone deals and the ability of the smartphones to do the things that computers can do and the ability of all of these iPads and things, those can all go online, and this can all do things that the computers can do. It's amazing how much we're going to be relying on these things, and they all hook to one place, and that's the internet. And so the internet is a single entity. I don't understand how we've got to have. I'm aware that the internet is more than a single entity, but it all comes in on the same wire, so to speak, and can get lost by itself. And so
as the internet streams out, and as more data centers come online, which in a sense replicates the human brains using the synapses and nodes, that someday the internet will be self-aware.
You know, I that scares me. That scares me to death, because that's too true. And I keep hearing about someday it's all going to be in your head. It's all, you know, you're going to be able to click on and offline in your head. And that one I don't want.
I was just picturing a college class where a student sitting there kind of spaced out and goes, what happened? Oh, blue screen of death.
Well, you know, and one thing, one place where I've been reading or hearing on the radio, television, education is changing. So schools are changing. We're getting schools on the internet, and how different they are, because everything is happening with a computer nowadays. Everybody, every kid almost has a computer nowadays, and if they don't, the schools will supply them. And it's becoming more and more possible. Schools are actually changing because of they can save money. For example, if you're doing things with computers, you don't have to buy all these books. And if you don't have to buy all these books, that's a huge savings to a school, because that's probably one of the most expensive things that they have in education, is buying all these textbooks and different books that need to have for teaching the kids, and they can all be done on a computer. Next thing would be fixing the school rooms, and that's changing too, because with a computer organized schoolroom, you can have 40, 50, 60 people in a classroom, all taught by maybe two people, I don't know if I want to call them teachers or assistants. You know, only have to have one real educated person. So everything is changing. The amount of school space we have can be changing, and the amount of school, and it's amazing how much can be done on the internet. But then what happens when we lose the internet? Ah.
Well, the thing is that they, with artificial intelligence becoming to where it is, and along with human-like androids that are being developed over in Japan that are really impressive, by the way, you know, the schools can just be, you can put the disc in or the memory card, whatever, and just play the school or play the course back, and of course the AI can answer the questions, and you don't even have to show up. Of course, at that point, then they'll probably have you just download the courses and have it done.
Well, the thing that I saw on television recently is that the people still go to school, and they still go to a school, a particular room, and each one has a computer. And that way the questions are asked or the information is given out to the student, and the teacher or the overseer has instant access to the answers and can tell if the student is on the wrong track or getting the wrong direction. It's an instantaneous thing instead of delayed like it would be that you're talking about. So there's a lot of ways that we can go about this thing, but I think that the education system is going to be fantastically changed and just permanently changed with the advent of the internet and what we can do with the internet, and the fact that computers are becoming unbelievably cheap. I mean, you can get an iPad for less than $100. And everything can be done on it. Everything can be done on it. It's got an 8 or 9-inch, 10-inch screen, and you can go online with it. You can put information in it. You can take information out of it. It's amazing for less than $100 per student.
Well, and along with this, as we're talking about computers and what they can do and waiting for mine to catch up with, this just came from Wired Magazine, I believe. And who else was it from? Doesn't say. But from Hulu, H-U-L-U, which is a very popular movie and TV website, is in trouble. Being the hook, millions of dollars in damages for allegedly transmitting consumer viewing habits to third parties after a federal magistrate ruled that the online video watching is protected under U.S. privacy laws. So that's the point. When you go online, you know, especially if you look at on the bottom of your screen on most browsers, you know, which shows what websites are being connected. You know, when you think like, for example, if you go to our website, krbnradio.com, and it should only say down there, you know, KRBN Radio, but then you'll notice that these websites will say connecting with Facebook, connecting with this, connecting with DoubleClick, connecting with all these other agencies, is you're being logged. Your IP address is being logged every time you go to a website. And if you want to see what type of information they have about you, go to a site called Whois, W-H-O-I-S, and find out what your IP is and find out what information that they have about you. It's amazing. And, you know, we won't get into more technical details, but, you know, like Cliff was mentioning earlier in the program about cookies that's put in your computer. You know, just the cookies in your computer, which DoubleClick uses, by the way, and you're not even aware of it, can track where you go, what time you are on that site, how long you were on there. Cliff, you use stats on the KRBN site. What other information does it come up with?
Oh, it comes up with every bit of connection you can think of. It can tell you what page you looked at, how long you stayed there and looked at it. It's amazing, all of the information. There's probably 30 different pieces of information individually that even just I can get it. I'm not even a hacker or anything. It's just all available to me whenever I want to go and look at it and see what is going on with the website that I'm at. But as far as I'm concerned, you know that's happening. You know that's happening. Anytime you go online, anytime you put information on there, you know everyone can have access to it. Everyone. I mean, just any kind of information you put on there. And I don't care what kind of logic you have in there to protect yourself. You still, it's all available. I don't care what it is. And no matter, you know, if hackers can get into every piece of information that you have. So if you don't want it on there, if you don't want something that is about you or something personal on the Internet or available to everyone, don't type it into the computer, for Christ's sakes. Keep it to yourself. In fact, in our case, we're doing this vocally. Don't even say it into the computer, because once it's there, it's available to the world.
That's right, and you can't erase it either. And you think that you're safe, you know, speaking of privacy. If you own a cell phone, they know exactly where you are and can trace where you've been.
Mm-hmm. I don't say anything on the phone that I don't want anybody to know either. I pretty much stay to myself.
He does. He doesn't answer his phones or emails. But no, you know, as far as telephone technology goes, it's amazing how many times your cell phone communicates towers, and it doesn't take that much to triangulate and find out where you're at, and they keep records and everything. So it kind of goes along with the privacy deal. Get into more technology. We're less and less private.
Well, if you want privacy nowadays, you've got to literally keep it to yourself because, you know, and it's been that way for a long time. This is not something new. I don't understand this Facebook philosophy of everybody wants to get on there and tell everybody everything about themselves. I just don't quite understand that. And you look at Facebook and people are doing that. They're putting every little bit of information on there, including nude pictures of themselves and what they believe in, and I can't conceive of putting all that information out there on Facebook or anything else, for that matter, for the world to see.
Oh, that reminds me. I just got through with my cup of coffee. I need to tweet that.
Really? I tried to go on tweet and to keep putting it, but it requires information all the time. And I would rather sit down and spend 2.5 hours watching a movie and not 2.5 hours having to get up for 15 minutes and do a tweet.
Yeah. And that could just be ignorance on our part, too. I mean, I haven't really got into it. But, you know, maybe someday when time allows that I work on average a 12 to 14 hour day. So, but that's my deal right now. But anyway, 6 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-988. As you can tell, we've claimed before that sometimes we'll take a right-hand turn on what we have to talk about, and sometimes we'll even go into a roundabout. Or 671-9887, still enough time to give us a call. If nothing else, call and say hi.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the archives, talk at krbnradio.com. Please feel free to email us. We're always happy to hear from you.
So, and interestingly enough, we don't have to put out quite as much information as Facebook does generally ask for, or so many people on Facebook do, even to do this program. We're sitting here giving our opinion, but not giving necessarily our statistics. How can I say that? Is that right?
That's right. We did good. Yeah.
I still say that we can. I don't mind giving my opinion and letting people know what I think, or even if I'm doing a program like this, not necessarily what I do think. In this particular case, in our particular case, in this particular program, I do basically put out my information as to what I actually think. But if I get into a talk show with some people, I can remember when I used to do talk shows, I'd agree or disagree according to what the caller wanted, what the caller was doing. So you didn't necessarily know what I personally thought. And, of course, I still don't give out my actual personal information very much as far as that goes, even on this program.
Well, that's true. And play a little different scenario, too, since you used to be a public figure.
Yeah, that's true. I sort of was being on the air. I was on the air for, 40 years, something like that. I'm old. And I was on the air for a long, long time, and it was surprising to me. It was just absolutely amazing to me. I'd go out and walk the streets, or go to some sort of a venue or something, and people would recognize my voice and say hi to me, and I didn't have any idea who they were, because when you're playing the radio, so many thousands of people can hear you, and you don't know them. I mean, even if you work a talk show where people call all the time, you still only know probably a tenth of all the people that are listening, because only about a tenth of them actually call, and you get to know them. So it's interesting, because when you go out amongst the people, I remember doing a swap meet, and people recognize your voice and recognize me then. So it was surprising.
Yeah, especially when some radio personalities, when you meet them and you go, you don't sound like the way you look.
I never did.
RJ say that, I've got a voice for radio, or a face for radio.
Yeah, well, that's true. I never tried to do television. I've done television before, but I never thought that I was comfortable there.
Well, I've been on TV before, and they got mad at me. Get off that! Okay.
Well, I've never wanted to be so concerned with what I look like. When I've been radio, I can eat while I'm talking. I can do all kinds of things, you know, while I'm on the air, and people can't see me. Except for the last station I worked at, the studio that was right in the window, front window of the building, so people could see me. So you have to be a little bit concerned. But most of the time, I was down in the inner workings of the radio station, what the studio is, and people couldn't see me. So I could get away with a lot more stuff.
Yeah, and like they're talking about, you know, radio is changing. It's still fun, but the fact the radio is changing and coming more towards this medium here, and it's still addicting. Cliff got me hooked on to it at the station that he did, although I chickened out and started this one here, and I got the bug, and wouldn't mind doing it for a career. But speaking of a career, we managed to muddle through another one Again, thanks for listening. And if you're listening to us on the archives, again, send us an email, talk@kibnradio.com. Just to say hi, or if there's something that you'd like us to talk about, or if you want to be a guest on the program, send us an email. We'll consider it. And we'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Send us an email about who you are and where you are and what else.
Tell us. But again, until next week, I'm Robin, that's Cliff, and we'll see you then.
I'm Biden.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.